For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. Hello, friends. Thanks for listening today to the podcast of Ripley Baptist Temple. I pray that the message today will be a help and a blessing to you and to your family. Now join us as we listen to the Word of God from the pulpit of Ripley Baptist Temple. 1 Samuel chapter 16. Let's get right in the Bible. Look in verse 1. And the Lord said unto Samuel, how long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? And the Lord said, fill thine horn with oil and go. I will send thee to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king among his sons. Now notice, if you will, in verse 2, and Samuel said, how can I go, the prophet? If Saul hear it, he'll kill me. And the Lord said, take a heifer with thee and say, I am come to sacrifice to the Lord, and call Jesse to the sacrifice. And of course, Jesse had 8 sons. And I will show thee what thou shalt do, and thou shalt anoint unto me him whom I name unto thee. And then look over in verse 11. And Samuel said unto Jesse, are here all thy children? And he said, there remaineth yet the youngest. And behold, he keepeth the sheep. And Samuel said unto Jesse, send and fetch him, for we will not sit down till he come hither. There was an urgency about this. And it says in verse 12, and he sent, and it says, and they brought him, David, in. Now he was ruddy and withal of a beautiful countenance and goodly to look to. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is he. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. I want you to notice in verse 11 where the scripture says, and Samuel said unto Jesse, are here all thy children? Heavenly Father, I pray that you'd bless in all that we're trying to do here. And dear God, in these few moments, I pray, Lord, that we'll ask ourselves that question. I pray, dear Lord, that you'll bless the preaching today, the baptisms, the offering. Lord, our hearts have certainly been challenged. And Lord, as the girls sang, Lord, you've sure been good to us. And Lord, you have been. You've been so good to us. And thank you for being able to be here today. Bless us in Jesus' name. Amen. You know the story probably of David and the story of Saul. In chapter 15, God had removed King Saul, taken his blessing off of King Saul. And of course, we know that King Saul was the people's choice for king. King Saul was not God's first choice to be king, the first king of Israel. And they got ahead of God. And of course, Saul looked the part. Bible says he was a tall fella, head and shoulders above everyone else. And he was a humble man. In fact, when they got ready to anoint him king, they couldn't find him. The Bible says that he was hiding himself among the baggage or the luggage. He was a very humble man. Now, he didn't finish that way, but that's how he began. And so he was the people's choice, but not God's choice. And so they anointed King Saul. They said, we want to be like all the other countries. We want to have a king. They didn't know what they were asking for. And so as they anointed him, you know, he, of course, fell away from God, lost that humility, and just ended up committing suicide, ended up consulting a witch for the latter part of 1 Samuel, asking a witch and not a Ouija board, but if they'd had Ouija boards, it would have been a Ouija board, crystal ball, if you will, seeking God's direction and all of that. And so he didn't finish well, but Samuel did. And David had his ups and downs, but David finished well. He was a man after God's own heart. And so God had rejected Saul as king. We saw that in chapter 15, and it says in chapter 15, verse 35, it says, and Samuel came no more to see Saul until the day of his death. Nevertheless, Samuel mourned for Saul. I think that's sometimes missed out. People miss that when it comes to leadership. Sometimes, you know, leaders make hard decisions. Sometimes pastors make difficult decisions. Sometimes and always we try to follow the Lord and follow the scriptures, and people don't always understand that. And sometimes people move on, people leave, people get angry, people go through different times and misunderstandings. But notice this, nevertheless, Samuel mourned for Saul. Sometimes it may seem like a pastor or a leader may have a hard edge to him, but behind the scenes, their heart's broken. Wish you'd help me there a little bit. Thank you, Pastor, for that. But it says Samuel mourned for Saul, and the Lord repented that he had made Saul king over Israel. So Samuel had a tender heart. Samuel had a heart that only God could see. And so they're looking for a king. God had a king already chosen. His name was David. David was young, but it wasn't unusual to have a young king. Josiah was 8 years old and 16 years old when he began to lead the nation of Judah, the tribes of Judah. There were others in the scriptures that began very young. I'm sure they had counsel along the way. But where did they find David? David, they found keeping the sheep of his father Jesse. David was very young. He was the youngest of 8 sons. And just a little Bible quiz. Can you name all 8 sons? I can't. If you can, you're a better Bible scholar than I can. But notice there was a preparation. There was a preparation after Saul's dismissal. Notice the preparation. God came to Samuel and he said, "How long wilt thou mourn for Saul?" Maybe the people didn't see it, but God did. God saw his broken heart. God sees your broken heart. And it says, "Seeing I've rejected him from reigning over Israel." And he says, look, Samuel, fill thine horn with oil. There was a preparation. Why were they filling the horn with oil? They filled the horn with oil to anoint the king. They were going to anoint him. The oil, of course, was a picture of the Spirit of God. There were many pictures, fire and wind and oil in the Old Testament for the Spirit of God. But that's how they would, there would be 3 anointings of David. 3 anointings. One here as a young man, and there would be 2 more before he would be anointed king over a united Israel. He said, "Fill your horn with oil and go." There was a preparation, and then there was a purpose. He said, "Go." He said, "Don't sit here and mourn. Don't sit here and cry." You know, Nehemiah sat and cried over Jerusalem when he heard about it. But then what do you do? What do you do then? I mean, we're brokenhearted, we're crying, we're weeping, we're mourning. It's what you do next that makes all the difference in the world. He said, "Fill thine horn with oil and go." And notice this. And he said, "Go, I will send thee to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king among his sons." There was a provision. God said, "I've provided me a king." God always provides. God always provides. And so Samuel said, like probably most of us would say, "Well, I don't know if I want to go. If King Saul hears about this, he's already in a bad mood, and he's already been dismissed by God, and he's already tried to kill David and all of that. He's not yet had he tried to kill David, but we know how he was an insecure man. He may try to kill me." God said, "Don't worry about it. I've got it all under control." And so he said, "Go get a heifer, invite Jesse's family to the sacrifice and offer the sacrifice there." And notice it says in verse 4, "And Samuel did that which the Lord spake." Notice in verse 3, he said, "I'll show thee what thou shalt do, and thou shalt anoint him me him whom I name unto thee." So it was a faith move. It was a faith transaction. And Samuel did that which the Lord spake. He came to Bethlehem, and the elders of the town trembled at his coming and said, "Comest thou peaceably?" They trembled when they saw the preacher coming. That's the difference between the conscience of a nation. Back then, they feared the prophet. They feared the prophet. They'd heard about Samuel. They'd heard that he had power with God, and they'd heard that what he said came true. By the way, if you were a prophet and you call yourself a prophet 2022, if you made one prophecy and it wasn't fulfilled, you're no longer qualified to be a prophet. God's not calling any more prophets. And so there was a difference. There's a difference today. You got preachers that are tiptoeing through the tithers. You got preachers that are in it for money. They're in it for whatever. Mama called, Papa sent, for whatever reason. There was a day in America that the pulpits were the conscience of America. I think that's being revived somewhat. But he said, I come peaceably. I come peaceably. And he said, sanctify yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice. And he told Jesse, he said, line up your sons. Doesn't name them all here, but he starts at the elders. He starts with Eliab. He starts with Eliab. It says in verse 6, it came to pass when they were come that he looked on Eliab and said, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. Eliab looked the part. He was a sharp guy. He was athletic looking. He was best dressed in his senior class. Had the best hair, voted best hair. That's very underrated. But look in verse 7, but the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance, or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance. A lot of times people want to apply this in the wrong context. God's not giving us a license to be sloppy here. God is simply saying the emphasis is not on the natural, but on the supernatural. It's not on the ordinary, it's on the extraordinary. When God measures a man, he puts the tape not on his height, but on his heart. That's what God's saying here. He said, the Lord seeketh not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. He may look the part, but he ain't the one. That's what it says in Hebrews, in the Hebrew. So he said, Eliab is not the one. By the way, God can use anybody. We've seen that in our lives. We've seen that over and over again. God uses the unusual. God blesses those that we don't expect him to bless. They said of D.L. Moody, that great evangelist, that D.L. Moody murdered the King's English, but God used him to move a nation for God. So he said, Eliab is not the one. And look at verse 8. Then Jesse called Abinadab, made him pass before Samuel. And he said, neither hath the Lord chosen this. Then Jesse made Shammah to pass by in verse 9. And he said, neither hath the Lord chosen this. And again, Jesse made seven of his sons to pass before Samuel. And Samuel said unto Jesse, the Lord hath not chosen these. I'm confident of that. I want you to notice, first of all, Jesse miscounted his sons. He had eight sons, but he only invited seven to the service. Where was David? We're going to find out in just a moment. Where was David? David was doing what God had called him to do at that point in his life. I remember getting a letter when I was in Bible college years ago. Pastor Meadows sent us a letter, and it was cranked out on one of those old copy machines where you had the greeting, and then the body of it was blue and kind of turned sideways. How many of you had office folks remember those? And you know, you'd get that stuff all over your fingers, but one thing about it, it was a form letter sent to all of us at Bible college, but he had signed it, amen. But it was his words, and I remember him saying this. He said, yours is a time of preparation. Prepare well and God will use you. And he said, wait on the Lord. We were ready to go win the world to Christ. We were ready because we were sure Jesus was coming at any moment, and he could have come at any moment, and he could come at any moment now. But we were ready. We were ready to go. We were ready, but we weren't prepared yet. David was doing what God wanted him to do at that moment, at that hour, at that day, in that week, and during that month of his life. If we'll do what God at every phase of life. That's why the Bible says that a novice shouldn't pastor a church. Because God is preparing us. God prepares us for every chapter of life. And may I say, he does begin with children. He will begin with children. Can I ask you a question? Are all your children here? Can I ask you that question? Are all your children here? I'm not saying necessarily here, but are they all here? Are all your children here? God's still asking that question. Jesse miscounted his sons. Maybe even Jesse dismissed David as being too young. Well, he's keeping the sheep. You know what? God was teaching him some things, keeping those sheep. While he was keeping those sheep, he killed a lion with his bare hands. While he was keeping those sheep, he killed a bear with his bare hands. Listen, he was a man's man, even as a young man. Anybody will kill a bear and a sheep. I killed a bear, but not with my bare hands. I sent a Razorback 5, 142 grain, right through both lungs, say amen right there, boom. But not with my bare hands. Not with my bare hands. I've not yet killed a lion. And I may die or get raptured before killing a lion. That's not on my bucket list. But he miscounted his sons. And I think of Jesus himself, who Luke gives us a glimpse into the humanity of Jesus, his perfect humanity. And we see only in Luke's gospel, we see Jesus there at 12 years old serving. We see him in the temple when his family lost him. And he said, I was in the temple. Wouldn't you know I'd be about my father's business at age 12? And it says right after that, he was asking them questions and answering their questions. And right after that, it says he increased in stature and in favor with God and man. He grew in wisdom. He grew mentally. He grew physically. He grew socially, but he grew spiritually, even as God. I don't understand all of that. Brother Gossett can explain the hypostatic union to you after the service. Amen. He's 100% God, 100% man, not 50% each. David was the youngest, but that didn't matter to the Lord. Jesus at 12, but Jesus began his earthly ministry at 30. That's pretty young. Not in his day. But I want you to know Jesus only had 3.5 years to do what he was going to do here on earth. May I say he did it well? May I say he did it perfectly? May I say he finished what God called him to do? When he cried, "It is finished," on the cross of Calvary, my friend, it was finished. The atonement was made. He paid the sin debt. Jesse miscounted his sons. And David, secondly, we see his youth was discounted. His youthfulness was discounted. And Samuel said unto Jesse, "Are here all thy children?" He said, "There remaineth yet the youngest." The youngest. Behold, he keepeth the sheep. He showed responsibility. He showed bravery. He showed tenacity. He showed creativity. He showed obedience. David did. That great under shepherd, that great shepherd of the sheep, who told us about the greater shepherd of the sheep, the greatest. He keepeth the sheep. Can I encourage you that are young to keep keeping the sheep? I know some of you have great vision, great goals, and I believe you ought to. But maybe God has you right now keeping the sheep. He's teaching you something. May I say, in every chapter, every phase and facet of life, God has us doing something, preparing us for the next chapter. Keep the sheep. You say, "I don't like keeping the sheep." Keep the sheep. Take care of the sheep. Do what God's called you to do for now. You say, I hate my job. Well, you do your job well now, and maybe God will give you a better job down the road. Keep the sheep. Keep the sheep. Feed the sheep. Do what God's called you to do. Don't discount your youthfulness or this chapter or this layer of your life. Why? Remember what Paul said to Timothy, let no man despise thy youth or thy youthfulness, but be thou an example of the believers. He said, Timothy, be an example of the believers. Timothy was a young man. He said, be an example in your word. Be example in conversation. Be example in charity or love. Be example in spirit or enthusiasm. Be an example in faith. Be an example in purity till I come. Give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that's in thee. God is developing the gift that's in you. Keep the sheep. Keep the sheep. He miscounted his sons and he discounted his youthfulness. But God didn't. I don't know how old David was, but he was young. He was the youngest of eight. By the way, raise the eighth one like you did the first one. I know you get tired. You say, I only have two. I'm already wore out. Hey, don't quit. Don't give up. Train up a child in the way he should go. When he's old, he'll not depart from it. You know, there are all kinds of interpretation of that verse, but I've kind of come back to what it says. Train up a child in the way he should go. When he's old, he'll not depart from it. I've quoted some that are smarter than I, and then I got to thinking about what I'd said, and I'm not really sure I'm right there with them. It kind of sounds good to say, raise up a child in the way he should go, or the way he's bent. You know, the way he's bent, just raise, and I've said that. I thought, well, that really sounds spiritual, sounds smart. I don't know. How are they bent? Well, you know, Pastor Rick, you know, Jimmy here, he's wide open. He really wants to serve God and everything, but Johnny over here, he's got kind of a rebellious streak, and we're just going to have to go with it. No, that's not what that's saying. Raise up a child in the way they're bent. Oh, you know, they're all bent a little different. Yeah, they are bent a little different. But the Bible doesn't bend. Now, yes, we have to understand where they are, and we have to understand kind of how they think. And yes, we have to take all that into consideration. They all have different personalities. But we raise them according to the nurture and admonition of the Lord. He miscounted his sons and he discounted his youthfulness. Young people, wherever God has you right now, you say, preacher, I'm the youngest. I take it on the chin all the time. I mean, I get all the worst chores. I get the hand-me-downs. I've heard all the lectures. I know, well, at least you've got them memorized. Are all thy children here? Samuel said unto Jesse, send and fetch him. We'll not sit down till he come hither. By the way, as I said, don't neglect the youngest. God has something for the youngest as well as the eldest. And he sent and brought him in. I think of what the scripture says in verse 11, there remaineth yet the youngest. I'd like to take that verse out of context just a bit and ask you this question. Are all thy children here? Are all of your children in? Are they all saved? Are they all serving? And maybe you'd answer me and say, Pastor, there remaineth yet, and you fill in the blank. There remaineth yet, and you can put their name in there. Why don't you write that out in the margin of your Bible, if that be true, and make that a prayer request? There remaineth yet the prodigal, There remaineth yet that unsaved child or that unsaved loved one that I care for deeply. There remaineth yet a wayward one. I sure thank God for the story of the prodigal son. And that father looked across the back 40 and saw him coming. And he said, kill the fatted calf. He said, this my son that was lost and now he's found and he's been dead. Now he's alive again. We're going to kill the fatted calf and put a robe on his back and a crown on his head and a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. And we're going to treat him like he's somebody because he's home. May I say, if you have a prodigal son and you're saying with a broken heart today, there remaineth yet, and you fill in the blank, leave the door open for them to come back. Make sure the door is open. They may leave and they may break your heart, and they may break the heart of God, but leave the door open. Leave the door open. Love them. Pray for them. Keep talking to them. Keep the door open to them. Can I say this? There remaineth yet, and maybe this one is a spiritual young person, a Christian, one that loves God. May I remind you that David was the youngest? You say, well, they're serving God. They're 12 years old. They're 15 years old. They're 16 years old. They're 10 years old. They've got a real heart for God. Then keep it up. Don't assume they're gonna finish the course without your help. Don't quit. There remaineth yet. Yes, thank God they're serving God today. But there's tomorrow. There's next week. There's next month. There's grocery bills. Amen. Who's Cole? You're the youngest. Amen. So do you get to wear what Billy used to wear? Amen. That's tough, isn't it? Man. DJ? No, you're older than him, aren't you? Yeah. He's bigger though, right? Amen. There's still a lot of time ahead. There's middle school. There's high school. There's college. There's them finding, as I said in Sunday school, Annie got her, our oldest grandchild, got her learner's permit. I can't even say it. I'm not ready for that. How many of you have been down that road? Just encourage me. Yeah. Man. It's bad enough when Matt got his driver's license. He still can't drive. Are all thy children here? Are all thy children here? If they're saved, thank God they're saved. If they're not, maybe you could fill in the blank and say, is all of your family here? Is all of your family in? Do they know the Lord? You say, preacher, there remaineth yet my dad. There remaineth yet my grandpa. There remaineth yet my mother. There remaineth yet my Aunt Susie, whoever it is. Behold, he keepeth the sheep. And Samuel said, fetch him. He said, we'll not sit down till he come hither. There was an urgency. Can I encourage you today? Don't settle for seven. You parents, grandparents, don't settle for seven. Get all eight of them. Get them all in. You say, we have a huge family reunion. There's 37 that come. Then don't settle for any less than 37 going to heaven with you. They all think you're crazy anyway. Tell them about Jesus. There remaineth yet. Train up a child. As parents, we have a responsibility. And as parents and grandparents, we have not only responsibility, but we have influence. That word train up means to teach, not only in a vocal way, but in a practical way. But to train up means also to point or aim at something, to train towards something. Train up. Now, we do that on purpose. We do that with prayer. We do that by faith. I don't have time to finish the message really today. But he says, arise, anoint him. This is he. This is he. This is the one. Jesse probably raised his eyebrows. Eliab thought, what's wrong with me? What's wrong with me? Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. God confirmed his calling in front of his brethren. Think about what God did with Joseph. Joseph had those dreams. He wasn't very, I don't think, wise in sharing the dreams with his brothers. He was a bit, I think, naive as he did that. His brothers learned to hate him because of that. But one day when they came back after all of those years of famine and plenty, they came into the land of Egypt and bowed the knee before their brother. God confirmed his calling. God confirmed the calling of David right there in front of his brothers. Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. Let's not discount the fact that God wants to pour his Spirit upon our children. If we need his anointing to raise them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, certainly they need the anointing of God upon them to live for God. The Spirit of the Lord came upon David. I was going to go to chapter 17, but you read that today sometime in between your nap. But in chapter 17, he faces a giant. He'd been anointed by the prophet. He goes and he continues. Look, he continues to take care of the sheep. God didn't put him in. He continued to take care of the sheep. And he carries some food out to check on his three older brothers who are fighting in the valley of Elah. I meant to bring. I forgot. It was in that valley of Elah that he picked up five smooth stones out of the creek. He tried Saul's armor, but it didn't work. God had what he needed. God has what your children need. You're what they need. I meant to bring a stone that I keep in my office from the Valley of Elah there in the Holy Land. I picked up one that still got blood stains on the side of it. I think some of those Palestinians had thrown some out there to try to make some. But anyway, not really. But five smooth stones and a sling. God took that which was familiar in young David's hand and he slew a giant named Goliath. God again confirmed him. He went from raising sheep to dropping a giant. He took the sword of Goliath and took off his head. But yet he was rebuked by his brothers and accused of having pride and accused of not having a heart for it and all of that. Don't let that discourage you. Only God knows your heart. God gave great victory and God confirmed him not only in the eyes of his brethren again, but in the eyes of a nation. We see him being anointed two more times. He became known as a man after God's own heart. He made mistakes. He sinned, yes. But God makes no mistakes. Are all your children in? Samuel said unto Jesse, are here all thy children? Are they all here? You say, preacher, we can just expect them in their teen years to go away. They'll come back. No, no. No, you don't have to expect that. Are all your children here? He said, there yet remaineth this one. Who would fill that blank in your family? There remaineth yet so and so. Why don't you write that somewhere on a piece of paper? And make that claim that as a prayer promise. There remaineth yet. And make a list of those that you want to see saved in your family. of those that you want to see serve God in your family, of goals that you have spiritually. Our children will rise no higher than we set goals for them according to the will of God. They'll go the direction that we lead them. As you know, probably that here today, I doubt if there's an NBA ball player in this group. I doubt if there's a major league pitcher in this group. I doubt if there's an NFL superstar in this group. You say, well, you haven't seen my boy play. But there may not be the head of a great corporation here. There may be all of that. But guide your children to find the will of God. Make that the hunger of your heart and develop that hunger in their heart. Train them up to seek the will of God and the plan of God and to seek God and make sure they're all in. Are all thy children in? Are they all here? Will you be able to say that one day in heaven? All my children are here. All my family's here. To the glory of God. And that will be what will make it heaven for us. To see Jesus and to be there. Are here all thy children. Don't discount the youth. Don't miscount them. Don't miscount them.